And it's time now for the Sunny Side of Sports with Sonny Young. Good evening, Sonny.
Sporty greetings, Chinadu.
Teams are perfecting their strategies for the World Cup.
Getting ready for the World Cup, Chinadu. We're now 77 days away from the opening match of the Football World Cup in South Africa. Johannesburg Soccer City World Cup Stadium will be the venue for the first game between host South Africa and Mexico. The Mexicans tuned up for the World Cup by playing Iceland to a scoreless draw Wednesday night in a friendly match staged in the southern U.S. city of Charlotte, North Carolina. Now, Iceland, which is currently number 91 overall in the FIFA World Rankings, did not qualify for the World Cup. The Mexicans, meanwhile, are ranked 15th in the world. Iceland goalkeeper Gunnleifur Gunnleifsson made three saves in the final few minutes of the match to preserve the draw. More than 60,000 fans at Bank of America Stadium in Charlotte watched the match, the third of Mexico's friendly tour of the USA. Now, Mexico had two good chances in the first half, but failed to capitalize on them. Iceland's best scoring opportunity came near halftime when Mexican goalie Luis Michel saved a 20-meter free kick by John Gudni Fjoluson. Meanwhile, Mexico's World Cup opponent on June 11th, South Africa, is continuing a month-long training camp in Brazil, the home country of head coach Carlos Alberto Pereira. Bafana Bafana has been playing a series of friendly matches against local club teams. Coach Pereira says he brought the team to Brazil because it's the cradle of world football, and he hopes the Brazilian style of play, which has produced a record 5 World Cup championship teams, will help inspire the South African players. Coach Pereira says the Brazilian camp will be followed by 3 more weeks of training in Germany. Now let's go to the northwestern U.S. city of Seattle, Washington. That's where the Major League Soccer season officially opens later this evening. VOA's Teresa Sullivan has a preview for us, as well as news about a top French football official.
Major League Soccer kicks off its 15th season Thursday after averting the first player strike in league history. A potentially crippling work stoppage was avoided when the players' union and owners agreed on a new 5-year labor contract last week. But the league begins 2010 with its biggest name, England's David Beckham, perhaps off the field for the entire year because of an Achilles tendon injury. The league's second biggest star, Cuauhtemoc Blanco, is returning to Mexico. Just 2 teams in Seattle and Toronto earned a profit in 2009. The season opens when the Seattle Sounders host the expansion Philadelphia Union. MLS Most Valuable Player Landon Donovan will be on the field for the Los Angeles Galaxy, which hosts the New England Revolution.
Voice of America!
European Football Union President Michel Platini says he will seek re-election for another term next year. Platini made his announcement during the UEFA Congress meeting in Tel Aviv, Israel on Thursday. The 54-year-old former French national team star succeeded Lennard Johansson and is expected to run unopposed next year. I'm Teresa Sullivan, VOA Sports.
This is VOA's Nikki Nicole Lindsay. I want you to know that Sonny welcomes your comments. You can send your emails to Sonny at the following address. Sonny@voanews.com. Sonny is spelled S-O-N-N-Y. For those of you who don't have email access, write this down. The Sunny Side of Sports, Voice of America, 330 Independence Avenue, Southwest, room 1613, Washington, D.C., 20237. We appreciate your contributions, so drop us a line when you get a chance.
Thanks, Nikki. Teresa Sullivan mentioned how the Seattle Sounders were one of 2 Major League Soccer clubs to earn a profit last season. The Sounders also set a league attendance record in their 2009 debut MLS season. They averaged nearly 31,000 fans for each home match, and based on season ticket sales so far this year, The Sounders are expected to break their own attendance record this coming season. I mentioned earlier how Johannesburg is the venue for the World Cup's opening match. It's also where some top South African athletes scored victories Wednesday evening at an international track and field meet. Mark Ouma reports from Johannesburg.
Africa champion Louis van Zyl of South Africa clocked a season best of 49.45 seconds to emerge victorious in the 400-meter hurdles at the Yellow Pages track and field meet here in Johannesburg on Wednesday night. Other notable victories came from South Africans Tumelo Tagane, who leaped to a distance of 16.78 meters in the triple jump, Jonas Windies, 1 minute and 46.77 seconds in 800 meters, and 17-year-old Rikenet Steenkamp, who won the women's 100-meter hurdles in 13.61 seconds. Moving on to Nigeria. The newly introduced Nigeria Golden League Series gets underway at the Amadou Bello Stadium in Kaduna, northern Nigeria, tomorrow Friday. Besides qualifying for the Africa Championships and the Commonwealth Games, athletes will be vying for the jackpot prize of over $6,000. Athletics Federation of Nigeria Secretary General Maria Wopil explains that the top three athletes in each event earn prize money, but to win the golden jackpot prize, an athlete must win their event at five of the six meet series. Other meets in the series take place in Ilaro in Ogun State, Lagos, Makurdi, Oweri in Imo State, and Warri in Delta State.
It's time to climb between the ropes once again with our reigning prince of pugilistics, Nnamdi Hollywood Moeta. Good evening, Nnamdi.
And a good evening, Sonny.
Nnamdi, you were ringside recently for the Manny Pacquiao-Joshua Clote welterweight title fight, which took place at Cowboys Stadium near Dallas, Texas. The pay-per-view numbers are in for the bout.
VOA!
Tell our VOA listeners about the breakdown of the figures, Nnamdi.
Sonny, 350,000 buys from cable homes, 310,000 buys from satellite homes, 40,000 from telco homes, which a total of 700,000 pay-per-view buys.
If you tally that all up, Nnamdi, what do we have for financial figures?
That's 700,000 times $50 each. $35.3 million. That's just the pay-per-view and the satellite and all that. Then you add 51,000 live gates. That's a lot of money, Sonny.
Mm-hmm.
Money, money,
money, money. Now, Nnamdi, you were not impressed with Joshua Clote's performance. He lost a unanimous decision to the Pac-Man. And now the Ghanaian fighter is talking a little bit about his performance. So what's up with that?
Well, he said he had a pre-fight meal right after the weigh-in of banku and okra soup. And that gave him the runs rather than Friday. If you have the runs from Friday, there are things you can take over the counter that will stop it before Saturday. So for me, that's just a lame excuse for you to pick up the kind of money you picked up. Talking about banku and okra soup.
Getting back to the money, Nnamdi, I remember you saying he could make maybe the most ever by an African fighter, up to $4 million.
With the numbers we are looking at right now, and the pay-per-view and the sponsorship, he could be walking away with $5 million, and fight fans are not happy with him.
Where does that leave Joshua Clote, Nnamdi? Will he get another title fight?
Sounding interesting, because now the fight fans, even the boxing commentators, I was watching a fight the other day, and one of the fighters just refused to fight, and they said, oh, he's pulling a Clote on us. That shows you how deep this resentment has been since that fight in Dallas. When anybody doesn't want to fight now, oh, he's pulling a Clote.
That's not good if you're Joshua Clote.
No, that's not good at all. Because the fight fans, now that we've seen the numbers, nobody's happy with him, and he will have to come with something better than Banku and okra soup stew.
Okay, Nnamdi, let's move up in weight to the big boys, the heavyweight division, which right now is dominated by the Klitschko brothers, Vladimir and Vitali. Vladimir was in action recently in Dusseldorf, Germany, 12th round knockout of American Eddie Chambers. I watched video of the knockout, Nnamdi. It almost looked like a phantom punch that he knocked out Chambers with.
Well, that was a vicious left hook. But, you know, before that, it was a boring fight. I almost fell asleep. Vladimir and Vitali, they've been winning using the same formula and the same style. Boring fight. That's why American TV decided not to buy any of that fight at all. Vladimir, well, he's still a world champion.
Still a world champion. What's the likelihood that he's going to fight Samuel Peter, Nnamdi? Samuel Peter has been looking real good in the ring recently.
I don't see that fight happening because Vladimir had no choice now but to fight Alexander Povetkin, who is the number one mandatory contender for the IBF title. If he decides he will not take on Alexander Povetkin, then the IBF will mandate that Samuel Peter and Alexander will fight for the vacant title. And that's the direction fight fans and fight aficionados will think that's going to go, because we don't see Vladimir fighting Alexander Povetkin, who is undefeated, and it's a dangerous fight for Vladimir. So he will give up that IBF belt, then Alexander and Samuel Peter will fight for the title.
Thanks, Nnamdi. That's our reigning prince of pugilistics, Nnamdi Hollywood Moeta. And we'll hear more verbal jabs from Nnamdi in the days to come. And let's give a Sunny Side of Sports birthday salute to world heavyweight boxing champion Vladimir Klitschko. Vladimir was born March 25th, 1976, in what is now Kazakhstan, but he fights for Ukraine when he's in the ring. Happy birthday!